Got your Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Kind of hold on there. We're in a series where we talk about next. And we're in an initiative in our church where we're looking at next things, that steps we'll be taking for spiritual transformation, next steps that we take even for our facilities. But as we zero in during our Sunday mornings and our sermons, to me it is looking at some of these next steps that I need to take and that each one of us needs to take so that we can be more like Christ. And at times, there are things that we have lived with and we have just sort of accepted, and it is slowing down our growth, and it is keeping us from enjoying the things that God desires for us. So each week, hopefully we'll identify something that we say, you know what, I need to take care of that. And that's the next thing I need to do. And so for today, we're going to look at the next stronghold demolished. The next stronghold demolished. Well, let me give you a definition. There are a couple different definitions of what a stronghold is that will get us prepared for looking in God's Word today. First of all, a stronghold is an area of darkness within your mind or personality that is stubbornly resistant to God's Word and God's will for you. Just look at that for a moment. An area of darkness within your mind or personality that is stubbornly resistant to God's word and God's will for you. It keeps you from claiming the abundant life. It keeps you from claiming the spirit-filled life. And it prevents you from possessing all it is that God wants to have for you in the relationship with Him and your relationship with others. We can be genuinely born again, sincere in our faith, but have an ongoing struggle with thoughts, emotions, and habits that wage war against our relationship with Christ. Johnny Hunt wrote a book on demolishing strongholds, and he gave a simple definition of a stronghold. He says, a stronghold is any habit that's got a hold on you. A stronghold is any habit that's got a hold on you. I saw this, a stronghold is an enemy fortress that is erected in your home territory from which your foe may launch attacks behind your defenses whenever he chooses. Think about that. Stronghold. There's an enemy fortress that has been erected in your home territory. And with that fortress, they can kind of lob grenades or rockets or whatever anytime they want to go beyond your defenses and to try to disrupt and to derail your life. So you know what we got to do? What you got to do is you got to demolish these strongholds. You just can't continue to let them be there. You just got to demolish them, get rid of them. But let me give you something that adds to the difficulty of doing that. And that is that these strongholds are surrounded by walls. They're walls of anger, pride, bitterness, fear, shame, embarrassment. And so you first need to bring down the walls in order to demolish the strongholds. And it's like they're intertwined together. When you read the Old Testament and you see what happened to the nation of Israel, that they were in captivity for over 400 years in Egypt, and then God sent Moses and he said, hey, we're going to get you out and take you to this promised land. And they got all excited and they crossed over the Red Sea and they began to make their way towards the promised land. And yet when they got to the edge of it, they sent some spies out and they looked at it, felt it was too ministering, too dangerous. And so they come back and they wander for 40 years, and then all of a sudden you pick up history and here they are again. Moses has died, Joshua's their leader, and they stand at the edge of the Jordan River, and the Jordan River's at flood stage, like the worst time to ever cross, and God says, this is the time we cross. He took the priests, they took one step, and all of a sudden the water dried up, and all the people walked across the Jordan River. And when he walked across the Jordan River, they were on their way to the promised land. And everybody's high-fiving each other. We're on our way. And the very first city they run into is Jericho. Jericho. Now, if we did word association and I said the city of Jericho, what's the first word that would come to your mind? Walls. Walls. Now, the choir said Jehoshaphat. I understand that. Jehoshaphat the battle. That's okay. But the others, it's walls, right? They're just intertwined. They're together. And the reason they're together is that Joshua was a strong and powerful city. But one of the reasons why it was so strong and powerful is that they had these walls around it that protected it. And so now all of a sudden, when you look at even at history has shown that the archaeological findings is that they felt there were two sets of walls. There was an inner wall, and that inner wall was anywhere from 11 to 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. And then there was an outer wall, which was 30 feet high and about 6 feet thick. And then there was a space between 12 to 27 feet between them. So it was huge. It was almost impenetrable on there. But in order to move into the promised land, they had to take Jericho. You say, why didn't they just walk around Jericho? Because if you walk around Jericho, you'll always have Jericho in your rearview mirror. You'll always have Jericho that will be sitting there having those attacks against you. And you can't do that. You've got to demolish that. You have to demolish that stronghold. They had to take over that city. And God said, I want you to go to the promised land. It's a land that's set up for you. And they said, well, all of a sudden, here are these walls. And he said, listen, you've got to get beyond the walls, and you've got to get inside the city. And that was the challenge. Now, if they could just get those walls to come down, then they could go about conquering the city. And so how did God and the people go about dropping the walls and conquering the city? I believe that when we take a look in Joshua chapter 6 and see how God and the people work together on that, we can take those same lessons, those same concepts, and apply it to our own lives as to how do we attack the walls and demolish the stronghold that's in our lives. If you start in Joshua chapter 6, look at the first verse, look what it says. It says, now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went in and none came out. What did they do? It says they shut the city up. Why did they shut the city up? Well, earlier in the book of Joshua, they sent two spies to go into the city. And it was pretty funny if you read about the two spies. They went into the city and they had not been in the city maybe 10 minutes and people had already figured out they were spies. Number one, they were not good spies, okay? And so a word came that there were spies, and they said, find them and kill them. Well, they went to a lady named Rahab, and Rahab said, I will protect you. She protected them. They came looking for them, and she just made up a story and said, yes, they came, but then they left, and they went that way. Go chase them. And so they went. And the two spies asked her, they said, why did you save us? She says, well, I got to tell you, we've heard about you and your God, and we are melting with fear. Everybody here is melting with fear because we heard what he did. And she begins to outline some of the things that he did. And so these two spies, when they went back, they began to feel good. And they said, man, everybody's scared. And we know everybody was scared. You know why? Verse 1, everybody locked it up. They locked up the city. Nobody in, nobody out. Now, it's interesting that those who were protected by the walls were fearful, because they knew that Israel's God was so powerful. Our strongholds that we have that are fueled by Satan as our enemy himself, our strongholds are fearful because they know that God is all-powerful and he is stronger than the strongholds within us. Amen? And so there's a fear going on in your life right now sitting in this worship, because there are some strongholds where Satan has had victory in your life, and he does not want you to hear this message, and he surely doesn't want you to hear that there's a message of hope and that God is more powerful than that stronghold. Nothing can stand up to him. And so then you go on verse 2. Look what it says in verse 2. Verse 2 says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its mighty men of valor. He just assured guaranteed victory. He's, I've given them into your hand. And who did he say he gave into their hand? Well, the bunch of weaklings that are hanging out in Jericho. No, the king, the powerful king, the men of valor, the great fighters. This is a powerful city. And he said, hey, it's powerful. It's tough. But I want to let you know, I've already given you victory. He has already assured victory. And he said, I'm going to give you a plan. And so in verses 3 through 14, he gives them a plan. He says, this is what it is. This is how you organize it. You get an armed guard at the front. So you get a bunch of armed men at the front. Then you take 7 priests who can play the trumpet. And they will play the ram's horn. So we've got 7 that are playing the ram's horn. Then behind them, we will take the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God. And then behind the Ark of the Covenant, there will be another armed guard. You got that? Armed guard, 7 trumpet players, Ark of the Covenant, armed guard. Get up at daybreak and march around the city. And as you march around the city, you 7, you play. Play the notes, favorite song. We'll pick up. We got a song list for you. We'll give it to you. You play. You play as we go around. Everybody else, don't say a word. Don't say a word. You don't trash talk. You don't whisper to your neighbor. You don't say a word. You just walk. And you circle the walls once and come back home. And we will do that for 6 days. That's all you do, and do that for 6 days. And just march around in silence until you get to the 7th day. And on the 7th day, we're going to change things up. Now in verse 15, look what he says. In verse 15, he says, this is how we've changed it up. On the 7th day, they rose early at the dawn of day, and they marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. You finished your first lap, take your next one. You better be in shape because we're doing this 7 times. They go around. They do it 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, he'd been quiet the whole time. He said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Verse 20. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. They captured and they destroyed the city. 40 years previous, if I could just rewind you. 40 years previous, 12 spies were sent out to go into the promised land to say, tell us how it is. We're getting ready to go in there. Moses is ready to lead us in there. 10 of those spies, when they walked in, they said, there are giants in the land, and the cities are large and fortified, and there's no way we can take them. And so they refused to go in the promised land, and for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Now all of a sudden, they've made this decision after 40 years that we're going to go into the promised land. And guess what God does? He says, you going in? Guess what the first city you're going to see? That menacing, impenetrable, walled city of Jericho. But something happened. Because you see, this time, they said, we can take it down. I have no idea how, but God said, let's just walk around it. And on that 7th day, and on that 7th trip, we're going to shout. And he says the walls are going to come down. It's a matter of perspective. It all changed. Something changed. They had been living with God. They'd seen God do amazing works. And they said, you know what? If he can get us across the Jordan River, then I guess he can get us through this. So let's go and let's trust him. That's the journey I want to take every one of us on today, to where we say, we can trust him. We can trust him. So what steps do you take? Just write them down. Number one is this. Approach the wall. The first step. The first step to bring down walls and demolish strongholds is to approach the wall. That means get serious about it. You know, the first thing they did is they went and they had to see that wall. Every one of our strongholds stunts our spiritual growth and the fulfillment of the life that God desires for us. strongholds are difficult to destroy, and their difficulty is intensified because of the walls that we have constructed around them, walls that prevent us from meeting the stronghold head on, walls that prevent us from honestly talking to God about them, walls that prevent us from reaching out and talking to others and getting the help or the counsel that we need. The stronghold was the city. But they couldn't get into the city until they could get through those walls. And I said, whenever we have strongholds in our lives, we surround them with these walls that keeps us from being able to deal with the stronghold. Just some examples. If there's an unhealthy relationship that you have with your spouse or your children, a lot of times you will not deal that particular stronghold because there's a wall of unforgiveness. Something has happened, and there's this wall of unforgiveness. And until you penetrate the wall of unforgiveness, you'll never deal with the unhealthy relationship that you've got right now with your spouse or your children. There could be a drug and an alcohol problem that you know that you have. You know there's a substance abuse problem, have you? But there's this wall of fear and denial that keeps you from ever dealing with that. There's a fractured relationship that you have with a friend, but there's this wall of bitterness that you can't get through. There's an addiction to pornography, and yet there's this wall of embarrassment. There's a painful past. It could be abuse. It could be rape. It could be something that's happened in your past, but it's still a stronghold on your life because there's this wall of anger and shame that you can't get through in order to deal with the painful past. There's poor financial stewardship where you are just drowning in debt, but there's this wall of pride that you will not go through in order to get the help that you need. And there's this friendship or this dating relationship that is unhealthy, that is just dragging you down, that you need to deal with, but you don't because there's this wall of hopelessness of saying, is there anything better than this? And so it's these walls that surround these strongholds. And the first step for us is to really get serious. You know, he didn't tell them, hey, just stay in the camp and for 7 days, let's just pray about this. He says, you get right up to the wall. I want you to stand there. I want you to look at the wall. I want you to touch the wall. We're going to walk around the wall. Assess the situation. Get serious. This is what's keeping us from getting into the promised land. So we need to approach the wall. The walls that surround your Jericho keep you from meeting that stronghold head on. But let me tell you, once those walls come down, you will see that your Jericho is not as invincible as you thought. Because our God is more powerful than that stronghold. But Satan has got a lie of walls around you that once you get through that, then God says, hey, we can take down this stronghold. We can demolish this. Number two, assess the situation. See the strength of the walls and the strongholds. Assess the situation. See the strength of the walls and the strongholds. Now, this may be counterintuitive to some of you, what I'm saying here. But when he had them do that for 6 days, through that whole time, they are looking up 30 foot high walls. Thickness that we can't even imagine from them trying to look at. And as they keep walking around those walls, they just seem bigger and thicker every time they see them. And they see how these walls are protecting the city. And that's good. Because what you need to do is you need to realize that you cannot do this in your own strength. Otherwise, you would have broken these walls down a long time ago. You need to assess the situation and say, man, this is a tough stronghold. It is. That's why it's been around so long. That's why you fought it so long. That's why you've not been able to get rid of it. You need to assess the situation, see. And once you assess the situation, it takes you to the third point, and that is you acknowledge that God can bring down the walls and demolish the strongholds. You see the strength of it, and you say, man, I can't do this on my own. And you've got God sitting there saying, yeah, that's right. But I've got you a great resource that can take down these walls and the stronghold. Acknowledge that God can bring down the walls and demolish the strongholds. And out of all of the story, one of my favorite parts of this account is when he told them to stay silent. Isn't that an interesting word? Isn't that interesting? While you walk around these walls, don't say anything. You know, most of us would say, well, can we just kind of have a little cheerful conversation with the people next to me? Nope. I just want you to be focused on the walls, and I want you to be focused on the one who's going to bring these walls down. I don't want you to be listening to the words of the naysayers out there. I don't want you to be listening to the competing voices of our culture. I just want you to be listening to the Word of God. And you know what I'd like for you to place in your head? Now, you don't have headsets, so we're not going to be playing this over and over. I want you to hear, this is exactly what God told you in verse 2. And he says, I have given Jericho into your hands. I have given Jericho into your hands. And when you walk around those walls, you don't talk to anybody. All you do is you just keep saying, God said, I have given Jericho into your hands. God says he's taken down this stronghold. God says he's taken it down. So what do we do? Well, what we do is we look at our walls and we look at our strongholds and we quote 1 John 4:4. And 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And just change that to say me. For he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in me, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in me, the power of God, the Holy Spirit that resides in me, is greater than he who is in the world. And whatever Satan throws at me, as strong as it may be, as difficult as it may be, he who is within me is stronger than that. And that way, no matter what the stronghold is, it is something that Satan has placed there, and he's living on a lie saying that it can never be taken out. And then you need to surround that and circle it and say, listen, he who is in me is greater than he that is in that stronghold. And so for them, it's constantly circling. And you're acknowledging that God can bring those walls down. And the fourth is this, and that's aspire to be in the promised land. Or, to put it another way, aspire to live the Spirit-filled life. Aspire to be in the promised land. Aspire to be a Spirit-filled life. I love the way God planned this. He said, walk around the city. Okay? All righty. So, let's just pretend. All right? Let's just say this is the city. Okay. This is the city. All right, right there. And you guys are the promised land. Yay! Sorry, choir. This is Egypt back here. We're running from you guys. No. All right. You're the Jordan River where miracles have taken place, and we have walked around. Amen. That's right. In fact, Jesus was baptized in you. Yes, all right. Okay, we're feeling good. Everybody loves me right now. All right. Hang on. You'll get over that love in just a second. So you're walking around and you're looking and you keep looking at the walls and you keep looking at the walls. They look impenetrable and penetrable. And all of a sudden you turn that corner. And when you turn that corner, that's promised land. This is where we're wanting to get. This is what God promised Abraham 600 years ago. This is where we can be. And so while I'm looking at my walls to my right, I'm looking at the promised land to my left, and I got to get that glimpse of what it's going to be like. And then I circle back around, and I come back home. I got a glimpse of what life looks like beyond Jericho. And I got to tell you, it's looking pretty good. I say it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's an amazing land that God has set before you. And as we have these strongholds and we walk around them and then we acknowledge that God can bring them down, we need to aspire to be in that promised land, to live the Spirit-filled life. You say, well, Dan, what am I supposed to think of? Think of this. Think of Jesus' death on the cross. Think of his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, and the abundant, purposeful, significant, victorious life that he paid for and that he promised you and that he created you to enjoy. That's the life that he has for you. Get a glimpse of that victorious life. Get a glimpse of life beyond the walls and beyond the strongholds. What would it be like to live a life that's not controlled by substances? Just get a glimpse of that and to see what would my life be different. take a glimpse of what it would be like to go to the mailbox without the fear of seeing past due notices? What would it be like to enjoy healthy family relationships, these relationships with both your family and your friend? What would it be like to love your spouse like you did on the day you married her? What would it be like to live this life beyond the strongholds? What would it be like not carrying a backpack full of anger and bitterness? What would it be like to just take that off and just to live life without that? You've got all these strongholds and these walls that surround them. And God wants so much more for you. And it's there. And if that's the inspiration it takes for you to take the next step, then go with that. Just begin to see what life would be like without that. And get such a dissatisfaction over that stronghold that has been weighing you down and just messing up your life and making you miserable, to just almost like stomp your foot or so and say, I've had enough. I'm ready to see life without that. Maybe that'll help you to face it and move forward. And here's the last thing, and that is to activate the life-changing process. Okay, how do you do it? Well, what did they do? They shouted. Now, I got to be real honest with you. I really wish it would be that easy right now, don't you? Wouldn't it be great if we could do just in the service, just say, just shout at the and shout out that stronghold, and it would crumble. That'd be good. But God says, it's going to be a little bit more than that. It took you a long time to build the stronghold. It's going to take us a little while to demolish this, but we can. So how do we do that? Just write these down. Number one, confess your sin to God and to a trusted friend. Confess your sin to God and in some cases to a trusted friend. I'd start with God, because all sin is offensive to God. David, after his sin with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, says this, my sin is ever before me. That's what a stronghold is. It is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. He didn't try to rationalize it. He didn't try to minimize it. He spelled it out. This is my sin. And to confess means that you agree with God and you call sin what God calls it. Don't give it some fancy name of this or that. Just call it a sin. That's what it is. It's against God. And say, I have sinned against you. Let's just get that right on the front end. And we've all had to do these. And it's just getting face to face with God and saying, I have sinned against you. I've been lying against you and lying to others. And just thinking, this is not a sin. This is a sin. He said, you're right. And you come before God on that. And for some, to be able to take that next step, it may mean to take someone into your confidence, a trusted friend. And I think that in the outline, I use the word trusted, a trusted friend. Not someone who's going to take your information under the guise of a prayer request and tell other people. No, I'm talking about a trusted friend that can help you walk with you through this. Two, repent, change direction. That's what repentance means. It means to change direction. Forsake the sin. Make a clean break from the sin. Say, oh, that's kind of hard. I'm all wrapped up. I understand that. Do one, then you go to two. Make the decision. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from that. But then that takes you to the third, and that is deploy your arsenal of spiritual weapons. Deploy your arsenal of spiritual weapons. I got to tell you, folks, you're not going into this with just a bunch of sticks and stones. You are being armed with incredible amount of spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 explains the war that we're fighting. It says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are divine power to do one thing, destroy strongholds. Our warfare is not according to the flesh because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We cannot use human weapons to destroy demonic forces. We cannot depend on our personalities or our human abilities. We are to use spiritual weapons. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians. He talks about putting on the full armor of Christ. And verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. And then he walks through all these different pieces, but he talks about that the armor includes truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and the word of God and prayer. Think about those things. The truth, and you've got peace, and there is righteousness, and there's faith, and there's salvation, and there's the word of God, and there's prayer. And after you've put all the armor on, he circles back around in verse 18 and says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Praying at all times. This is why Satan hates for us to pray. He can handle our programs, our organizations, and our man-made plans, but he does not want us to pray. We are in spiritual warfare, and he knows the power of prayer can bring down his strongholds. God's word can bring down these strongholds. Truth can bring down these strongholds. Righteousness can bring down these strongholds. Salvation can bring down these strongholds. There can be victory. Number four is take practical steps. Take practical steps. I love Warren Wiersbe's statement. He says this, once the walls in the mind have been torn down, the door to the heart can be open. Once the walls in the mind have been torn down, then the door to the heart can be open. That's what we're talking about. These walls, once they are torn down, man, the heart opens, and then you can go right after that stronghold and get it. So take practical steps. There are spiritual battles that we fight, but then there are practical steps. That means that we honestly have to deal with things that have happened in our past, deal with the abuse or the hurt or the anger. It may entail talking to someone that's been offended. It may mean you offering forgiveness for someone that you have hurt. It may be you even accepting forgiveness for someone that has hurt you. It may be to take that step to go for counseling. It may be to rearrange priorities in your calendar so you can spend more time with those that you love the most. It may be swallowing your pride and going for some financial counseling or help in that direction. It's practical steps that you take. And what happens is when God begins to work in that stronghold, begin to demolish it, then he will make it clear, you know, these are some next steps that I've got to take. This is the next thing that I need to do. And the very last thing is this, and that's to experience God's grace. Experience God's grace. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we repent of our sin and we seek a fresh start, it is crucial that we claim God's forgiveness and ability to go on. Okay? We have to claim his forgiveness. He said in his word, and move forward. When you sin and you feel convicted to repent, that's God. But when you sin and you feel hopeless and condemned, that's Satan. Can I say that one more time? When you sin and feel convicted to repent, that's God. But when you sin and you say, I just feel hopeless and condemned, that's Satan. And he's got you in a stronghold. Because he says, you're hopeless. You're condemned. You'll never get a new start. You're stuck like this forever. And what he's done is he's tried to build a wall between you and God. So you can't even go to God. You'll sit through services and you'll hear me preach and we'll sing unbelievable songs. But there's something in your spirit that says, gosh, I'd like to do that, but I can't. That's just Satan. That's just Satan building those walls, protecting strongholds. Now, this is not just something that other people deal with. This is not just something that that we say, well, is this really true? Does it happen right here, even in our over-the-mountain area? It does. It does a lot. Because this is something we all struggle with for certain things in our lives. We want to share you a story of a couple in our church who've been very transparent and vulnerable to explain to you about their journey through demolishing a stronghold. If you'll watch this, please.
When I was in ninth grade, my family moved to Atlanta. And so I was thrown into an environment, into a huge city that I knew no one when I moved there. I started, you know, looking for other ways to fit in. I was at a friend's house, and we were in the basement, and he had an older sister, and she had bought some beer, and we drank it. And I remember being in his basement and the way it made me feel. I didn't feel less than. I didn't feel not a part of. It was, you know, it just took all the troubles away. When it became a stronghold in my life was when we had our first child. I was going to school at night to get my master's and was working during the day, and I wasn't ready to grow up. It's a progressive disease, there's no question. It started in 10th grade, and it built its way up until I started, you know, really abusing alcohol. It gradually became something that I did every day, and I hit it, and I hit it really well. I mean, my family didn't know it. My mom and dad didn't know it. The people I work with didn't know it. You know, I've got this house of cards built up around me, and I wanted to stop more than anything in the world, and I couldn't. No matter how hard I tried and said, not today, not today, I'm not going to do it. You know, the devil would just get in my head and say, you got to have this, you got to have this. You can't tell anybody, don't tell anybody, it'll go really bad. Every morning when I woke up, I said, I did it again. Okay, not today. Okay, the only way I can do this is by myself. I've just got to stop. It really... you know, it took a toll on our relationship. I pulled back, and Tate, you know, dove into our children because I wasn't available.
Rob was sick all the time. He was sick. He had a headache, or he had a stomach ache, or he had a stomach bug.
My health was crumbling. All my levels were off. My liver was just shot.
I was convinced that he had something wrong.
I went to the doctor, and they said, your levels are high. They asked how much I drank. I lied to them. And they were like, well, it looks like you might have gallstones, so let's take your gallbladder out. So I literally had my gallbladder taken out. I knew what the real problem was. I knew it wasn't the gallbladder. You know, that was the level I was willing to go through to hide this. It was my God. It was my idol. And I was not giving it up.
It was Sunday morning. We were going to church. I told Rob, I was like, you're either going to the emergency room or I'm calling an ambulance. So he just obliges me, and he goes to the emergency room. Well, I called his sister, and I'm on the way to church. She says, I'm dropping you off. I was like, oh, no, no, no. He told me I couldn't come. I promised him I wouldn't come. I cannot go. And she's like, you're going. She takes me to the hospital, and I go in, and I just kind of stand back in his room, and I just eavesdrop to what he's telling the nurse. And I hear what he's telling the nurse when she asks him how much he consumes. And I just roll my eyes. I'm like, he really is sick. He doesn't drink that much. I'm with him every day. This is a lie.
And then Tate pops out from around the corner, and I'm like, you know, this is it. This is where God's put me.
And the doctor looks at Rob, who then looks at me. And then my world just stopped. It all of a sudden just utterly stopped.
The hardest thing I've ever had to do was to be honest with her.
I was very angry. I was really hurt. I was very angry. God's grace is new every morning.
She's an amazing, amazing wife, I think the Holy Spirit was the one responding that day. She said, "We can do this. We got this." And we went home and we poured out all the alcohol in our home. But it wasn't easy. A stronghold is a stronghold, just like it's called.
Wrestling with it and just you trying, and you know, the struggles were so real and relapsing that I was ready to throw my hands up in the air.
I was living on the outskirts of Birmingham, and I went for a run. I'm running through this park, and I looked down, and in chalk, it was written, "Never give up." It says, "Trust in the Lord. God loves you. Read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." It was just one of those moments where God clearly was telling me, "I got you. You got to come to me if you want this, but it ain't going to be easy."
It was one of these days that I could not do this another day. A sweet man just taps me. He introduces himself to me and says, "I go to church at Shades, and I sit a few rows behind you, and I see you crying every Sunday, and I don't know what you're crying about. But I want you to know that I have an alarm on my phone, and I pray for you every single day at 11 o'clock. And he said to me, "I don't know what's going on in your life, but God is the ultimate healer, and He will heal what is going on." And I knew it was going to be okay. I'm not going to hide this. I'm not ashamed of this. I need help. I couldn't do it by myself. I needed help.
We took the mask off. This is who we are. We struggle with sin. Whatever it is, we all deal with one. You know, pick your stronghold. The solution is the same.
But if we were all perfect, if everything was just great, then we wouldn't need a Savior. I mean, this is what it's about.
Jesus has died, and he has wiped those away. And when I'm judged, I'm judged by, you know, Jesus' blood on the cross is what is going to be seen. I remember how helpless it felt to be sitting in the pews of a church and listening to a sermon about a stronghold. Oh my gosh, she's talking to me. And I know how impossible it sounds to go talk to somebody and say, "I'm doing this." The relief you'll feel and the amount of people, believers that'll surround you and the people that love you will surround you and help you overcome it. It's possible. I know it feels impossible, but it's possible.
Though it seems impossible, He said it is possible. And so it's our prayer that today, for many of you, it'll be taking that first step. Start walking around the walls to take that first step to get you to the point where you're at the position to where you can shout. And so as we get ready to move into a response time in our service, you have that connection card with you. And there may be some of you today that say, "I'm ready to just take that step." And there are things that can happen. When we close out this service, I will be here at the front with some others at the end of the service. And if you want to come down and talk to us, pray with us, we would be glad to. It may be that God has placed someone on your heart that you say it's a trusted friend, and this is a person that I need to approach. For some, it is, "I've really not been honest with God on this, and I'm going to take that step and start and be honest with Him." And on that commitment card, you can be anonymous or put your name on there. There's just something about writing something. And for you, it may be just to write and say, "Taking next step. Taking next step." And as we receive those cards and throughout this week, we'll pray for you. And whether it's by name or whether it's anonymous, just to pray that someone has said, "I'm taking that next step." And my hope is that you will do that. And to know that our God, He who is in you, is stronger than he who is in the world, stronger than he who is in the stronghold, stronger than the walls that surround that. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, Says so amen was a response song we'll sing. And I want you to think of those words and think of what God is speaking into your heart today. And don't walk out of here without taking that next step, whichever it may be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us hope. And you give us joy. And to know that you went to the cross, not so that we would struggle and be mired in sin, but you went to the cross so that we could have freedom from sin and to be able to live a life that brings honor and glory to your name, a life of joy, a life of fulfillment. And so it's our prayer that your Holy Spirit speaks to each heart here and help us to take that next step. In Jesus' name we pray.